Kilman on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Rob, and I'm certainly the oldest person in here. So I think what was really interesting is when we first got this brief, it was pretty daunting for a couple of reasons. And obviously, I think the other guys found it the same way, because we all sort of contacted each other and said, you know, how do you answer a question like that? It's really difficult. I think it's because, for a couple of reasons, we're not accustomed to doing this, preparing speeches in a way, because generally speaking, when we're doing something creative, we work through the problem, and by the time we get to present to the actual client, we sort of talk off the cuff, and we know what we're saying because we've worked through this particular process. Anyway, here's my stab at it. I think where it started for me, and I had to sort of think back to how I got into creative profession in the first place, and it came not from consciously doing something, but it came from back at school where I found out that I could draw, and it came through a zine that we were doing at school where we'd sort of mimic the teachers and something like that, and then also my brother and sister were getting guitar lessons, and when they got bored with that, I picked up the guitar and strung it the other way around, and sort of at school started two directions that I went into, which was art and music. So I fell into it unconsciously, because I guess most people at that age don't really want to spend their time studying or thinking of a career in accountancy, well, particularly in the 70s, which was my time. This was also sort of a particular time when it was pre-punk eras, actually, in music. It was also a very alienating time for South Africa in terms of where we were in the apartheid era. And I think a lot of the youth were starting to try and find their place of where they wanted to be in a society where, you know, your brother, who was probably 3 or 4 years older than you, went off and was expected to find a career, and then ended up getting married and having a baby. And sort of almost 3 years later, there was this entire generation of dislocated people. And they, we tried to migrate to find a culture that was similar across us in a society where it was rapidly crumbling. And it sort of forced us into this environment of trying to find like-minded people and expressing ourselves in a different way. So the society started where we ended up listening to the same sort of music, informed by, I guess, punk and post-punk, and which is very different if you think about it from Thatcherite sort of England at the time. But living and growing up in Johannesburg at the time, it was sort of this culture of where we're going and where are the people in this country going. So we ended up going to the same clubs, wearing the same clothes, finding like-minded people who would appear in the streets at night and hang out in the same places. We started making our own zines, photostatting them. We made our own posters. We started our own bands. So this culture started out where we were creating unconsciously from what we did. And so the whole process of me going into creativity in the first place came from a place of not being conscious of it, okay? So I think that's true of a lot of people. Some people it's more deliberate. I had to make the decision after school of a career. And I ended up doing fine arts and then graphic design at the only graphic design school in Joburg. And at the same time started a band. So there came this point in my life where the band was becoming successful, and my art was forcing me into a particular direction. I had to make this choice between music and art. I knew I had to haul one of them to make a living. No one makes a living of being a musician. So I chose art to haul. And inadvertently fell into this job, which was called advertising. This was after going through a career of learning how to draw and how to paint, how to think for yourself. Also that weird crossover where I wrote my first song, because there's a part where you start off by imitating other artists. Everyone does that. you have your peers, you listen to that type of music, and then there comes a point unconsciously where you create a song that you're very proud of. And I specifically remember the first time I made a song that actually felt like a song. I can still remember it. And it was like an amazing feeling. It's the same thing when you do something you're really proud of with art for the first time. You start out by drawing was always my thing, because you could do it in your school books and you could create zines or you could do stuff like that. And then it sort of got to a point where you look at the classics, you look at people you really admire, from Hockney to, I don't know, Leonardo to whatever, and it informs where you go, to Salvatore Dali. And you realize that you can create something that's individual in yourself. I haven't looked at this thing for a while, so I better check where I am. So anyway, the point I'm getting to is there's this weird transition where you imitate, and then it transitions into something where you're creating for yourself. I think it's different for everybody, but my transition into becoming a creative in any sense of the word, which is like quite a pretentious word in the first place, was completely unconscious. It was informed by a variety of things, via society, via where I was, at what time, in what place, and where I am. And I think that's very, very true of advertising. So, I ended up going to my first job, and I almost stumbled into it. It was my first interview. I got the job for a little agency called CDP. Luckily, they were a great agency, and I found out that the approach to creativity was no different in advertising, and that was incredibly exciting to me because I could apply the same rules as I did to my music and my art as I did to my advertising, because the creative process was very similar. No matter how you get there, it still gets to that same particular point. And that was really rewarding for me. But as it turns out, I still spent the first half of my career focusing largely on my band, traveling around the world and creating that sort of stuff. And then quite late into it, I got seriously into advertising and sort of lost myself in that particular area. All right, now I have to find my place. So anyway, that brings me to the point of how I got into creativity. But what it provoked next, to answer the question that was set forward in this brief, is this thought of what is creativity from a personal perspective, and how do you define it? And it actually required me for the first time ever to sort of think about the creative process as opposed to doing it instinctively, because that's what I'd done and fallen into for so many years of my life. And I think it's really difficult to define, because we don't interrogate that process, and it instinctively comes after many years. And I think also, if I had to ask anyone here, they would give you a different direction, or they would give you a different reason as to why they ended up in that career. And they would probably also tell you that their process was quite different from mine. I remember quite clearly about 7 or 8 years ago at Cannes, they were interviewing on stage at Cannes 3 of the top ECDs in the world at that time. It was a South American, it was Eric Verfruchen and Tony Granger, an ex-South African, all of them now global players in the top of their game at the time. And it was one of those questions that creatives get asked that they don't know how to answer, is sort of, how did you end up in creativity and how did you become this? And Tony Granger basically said, I planned it from the beginning. I had this plan at some point in my life. I decided that's where I want to be and that's where I want to go. And I had this drive and ambition to do that. And I studied it and I went through this entire process, and eventually I made it where I was. That was his way of ensuring that he reached the peak of his profession. Through hard work, slog, planning, focus, all of those particular things. Eric Verfruchen, a guy who was also South African and was top of his game in Paris at the time, basically said, I have to feel pain to make something better. I have to feel the angst and the pain, and we have to do this suffering to get to a point where we know we've done something amazing. Because the only way you're going to get there is by ensuring that you've wrung the thing dry, that you've delivered every ounce of your blood into this piece of work, that you know you've delivered something amazing. And when you do the next piece, you have to go through that process again. So that was his process of getting through it. And then we got to the South American guy, and he says, I made a nice ad, and then I'd like to make another nice ad, and then I want to make another one, which is different, and then I make another ad, and it was very nice, and that was it. So you have three processes. One where a guy probably gets bored and just loves making stuff and likes to make something different and whatever, and we all recognize those three people. And so, I mean, that process is quite different how you get there. I think the similarities around it, and I try to sort of define what the kernel of creativity means to me, in a sense. So for me, it sort of is the part that touches the emotional, irrational part of people's brains. Not the rational side. It does something to you. It's sort of... you know, it sort of makes you trust your gut, not your head. It makes you feel something. It makes you feel pain. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel wonder. It makes you feel excited. All of those particular things. It's because, generally speaking, you haven't seen what you've seen in that particular way before. I have this theory that you know, everything is a rerun. There's a really good series on that you must look up on YouTube about everything's a rerun. I don't believe that anything hasn't been done before, in any sense of the word. Everything has been done a million ways. Because if you think about it, when you start out, you admire someone like a Hockney or a Worrell, and then you end up sort of finding a way to express yourself that leans on what you've done before. It's the same in music, it's the same in literature, it's the same in every profession under the sun. That moment that takes it into something creative and something personal for me is where you find a way to do that that hasn't been done before. And when that hasn't done before, it sort of excites you and amazes you and makes you feel good. And if you know if it's doing that, there's a really good chance it's going to do it to the consumer. So that's how we sort of, well, that's how I look for ideas. As a creative director... for many, many, many years, I try to judge everything from initially from this incredible sense of I recognize that idea, but it's been told to me in a fresh, completely different sort of way. And when you can absolutely feel that and know that you're transmitting that out, you've got the start of a great idea. That's where it begins. The rest that goes into it is like anything else, is the craft of what you do, how you write, how many times you rewrite it, how many angles you come at it from, how you shoot it if you're on film, how you illustrate it, how you write that song in a way that draws off the influences of 60s or 70s, but it comes out sounding incredibly fresh and relevant to you now. So in a sense, when I say everything's been done, It's like everyone has fingerprints, but every fingerprint is different. And when you can make people feel that they're seeing it in a different way than they have ever before, even though they've seen it a million times, they've seen it for the first time in that particular way. And quite often, people feel like I'm the only person who's felt that. Then for me, that's the peak of when you know you've got a great idea, great book, great piece of art, whatever it may be. It's life imitating art and art imitating art at the end of the day. So, I mean, I think also what tends to happen, and we see it all the time, it can particularly, is that we see it through memes, we've invented a name for it, is that we have similar ideas. We often go to Cannes and see ideas appear at exactly the same time. The same ideas from South America and South Africa and States or whatever. It's because we informed at the same time by the politics and the science and the religion and all of those things at the same time. So, You know, all of those things affect us in a similar way. So it produces waves of creativity that have a theme and a way of looking at life. Whether it's informed by digital, which changes rapidly, whether it's informed by the events of that country, or how it affects us as a country, all of those things have a bearing on the way that we create. And that for me makes the difference in the way we do things, is that it puts us apart from being imitators that everyone's doing, but you're doing it in a new way. So for me, that's what creativity should do. Thank you. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.